I'll just welcome you, Ali, for in being interviewed for the archive. And I wonder if you'd like to just give us a bit about your background, your family. Were they military family? Were they encouraging? A bit about how you got involved, how you heard about Greenham.
Okay, yes, my family, basically a sort of stalwart Labour family, so very encouraging of anything, social injustice was their absolute, horror. So I was brought up in a family that, very much fought for people's rights and would stand, the need to stand up anyway for people. So I think I first got involved with the peace movement probably when I was about, I think I joined CND when I was 16 or something. I mean, goodness knows. And and would be part of the anti-Vietnam demonstrations. And I don't think it was particularly my mother who was supportive. My father, although, he had been in the war, the Second World War, but he would have been a conscientious objector if he could. And certainly my mother's father was a conscientious objector in the First World War, just to give that sort of idea. I think if my mother had known I was going off to London to be in the anti-Vietnam things when I was so young, I think she would have objected, but she was fine. I don't think she ever knew, to be honest. Greenham was just sort of an obvious, I would have been joining in to all sorts of things, before that. Although sadly, at the beginning of Greenham, I was working abroad. So I was working away for 3 years. So at the very beginning of Greenham, I wasn't in the country. So I'd only come and join in. I had sort of 3 weeks leave or something each year, so I'd go along then. So I miss the wonderful things like surrounding the base and things like that, which was bad. So I really joined in when I got back, which is really in 1984. So
All right, we're still quite early days, really. What gates did you tend to go to? Did you have a gate that you preferred, or they changed over the years?
No, it tended to be Orange. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Although, having said that, it was really weird going back to I've always said it was definitely Orange Gate, and I'm querying now. I mean, memories do funny things, whether actually it was yellow, but I'm pretty sure it was Orange. I'm really sure it was Orange. Yeah. But I didn't do long periods there. I might go for a couple of nights, one because I was working and things like that. But my main, so I never lived there for long, for any length of time at all. But I'd go there very often. My main sort of connection was with Cruise Watch, and then afterwards with Snowball, which was slightly different, but yeah, the Cruise Watch. So being on the end of that telephone tree and racing out in the middle of the night in clapped out Morris Minors. Yeah.
So, excellent. Excellent. Do you want to tell us some favourite incidents with your Cruise Watch?
Well, they're about favourite. I mean, it was a pretty scary thing, really. I mean, they were not nice. I never could quite gather whether it's the military police or who that would stop us and put vehicles across the road and quite brutally stop us going anywhere. If you tried to get out the car, they'd slam the doors on your arm or whatever. But I think one of my funniest ones was actually being on Salisbury Plain and seeing the light. And we all had walkie-talkies. Seeing lights from right across sort of the other side of the plane and thinking, oh, my God, this is a military vehicle. And then really getting worried. So with the walkie-talkie, you know, saying to the other person that was on the cruise watch thing with us, you know, I can see lights coming. I'm going to, you know, I'm killing my lights now, or, you know, et cetera, we're taking evasive action, blah, blah, blah. And then to find out that actually we were just talking to each other, it was their lights that I could see. And we just thought, oh my goodness gracious, what on earth are we doing? You know, there were lots of times rather like that that made the whole thing slightly farcical, I could say. But they were scary.
So was it always at night then?
Pretty, yeah, I was always at night that I'd go out, yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it tended to be at night because they would be racing through, I mean, literally at breakneck speed going through, you know, villages. And, it just baffles me how the whole thing is allowed, because, you know, they're breaking every rule in the book, aren't they?
Mm.
So, yeah. So, yeah, it would always be at night that I'd go out. Yeah.
Okay. So were you part of a little local group, a support group that you were involved with?
Yes, then at that time I was living near Bradford-on-Avon in Wiltshire. So it was the Bradford-on-Avon Peace Group that I was particularly, we were connected in doing these things, yeah. So it was part of that group that I would go out with, yeah.
So it was quite near Salisbury Plain then, really?
Absolutely, and I think that's why, you know, we were sort of, you know, very, very close, so we could just be very easily connected, you know.
Yeah.
And we could sort of keep an eye on the area as well, you know, so we would go and just see what was going on down there and things like that.
Mm.
Yeah. And they would keep an eye on us, you know, because I know that our phones were tapped. I mean, we'd have great fun with that, because, you know, you absolutely here, you know, you pick up the phone and then the other click would happen and you sort of, hi, I know you're there, you know, and then you sort of vaguely hear noises. And they used to come and slash tires and things like that at times as well, so yeah, all good fun.
Did you ever get arrested?
No, I didn't sort of keep trying. I mean, particularly with Snowball, obviously that was the whole aim, to get arrested. But of course they wouldn't arrest us, you know, they'd take us in. But, you know, all of our best laid plans, wasn't it, to try and overrun the court system. Of course they'd suss that one, so they'd keep us as long as they could and then tell us to go away, yeah, until the next time. So no, I never did get arrested, yeah.
Yeah, there was a lot of that. Do you want to say a bit about Snowball? I don't think we've got many people telling us about that.
Oh, well, that I didn't. I was part of it for quite a while. That was really surrounding other, well, not surrounding necessarily, just other military bases, but absolutely to get arrested. So it was going and cutting the fences. And the police. So we just would do those actions. Can't remember quite how often. It was quite often, once a month, once every, I can't remember, to be honest. There were different groups that would do it. Again, I was with the Bradford and Haven group that I used to go with. So we'd go, you know, all over the country to different bases, trying to cut their fences if we could get close enough, yeah, so. And people, you know, yeah, they would sort of almost like kettling in those days. You know, the police would then just come up and surround a group of us and take us away. And then, you know, the others could go. So, yeah, it's whether you were part of that group that got basically kettled or not. Yeah. So.
All right. Okay. Did you carry on? You probably did carry on with Cruise Watch then after the missiles left. But after the missiles left the Common, you know, what was your involvement then? Because I know Nuke Watch is now still exists. Do you remember what happened after the missiles left and the Cold War ended?
I don't, I mean, I wasn't so involved then. Again, I was working away. I worked abroad a lot. But indeed, you know, we'd keep up with, as you say, Nuke Watch, and, you know, it'd be the making, seeing where, well, you know, what was happening with the trains and following, you know, following the trains and again, trying to make it public. I was involved with that, but I wasn't very active. And yes, and it carries on to this day, doesn't it? With, you know, following the missiles up from Burfield or wherever up to Scotland. So, you know, and, you know, it really doesn't get any coverage anymore. I mean, it's just so silenced. Yet it's happening all, you know, it is happening all the time. You know, and some of the horrors with the, you know, well, with the, with all the transport, but, you know, the way that, you know, the trains would just be, you know, overnighting in sidings and then, you know, carrying on their journeys. And you think, oh, my goodness gracious. Yeah, the danger, the absolute danger of moving these things around the place.
Is that trains that had nuclear waste on them from Hinkley or somewhere?
Well, there would be that, there'd be those, but there are also the ones carrying the weapons up to Faslane and places like that.
What, from Aldermaston and or Burfield?
Yeah, from Aldermaston and Burfield,
And
that's obviously still happening,
So, yes, indeed. Indeed.
They keep having to refurbish them all the time,
Okay. So how do you feel that your involvement with Greenham impacted your life? Do you think it had much, it sounds like it was just sort of more of the same, really, but did it have any lasting impact, do you think?
Oh, I think it has to. I mean, it was such an enormous, you know, it was so big, you know. I mean, it was much bigger than anything else. I mean, there might have been, you know, big demonstrations in London or something, but that would be just a day or something. And the fact that it was all women, you know, because I was a passionate feminist still, you know, and, you know, just to be with a whole group of women, making decisions, not having men speak for us. It just raises confidence to just find one's own voice and, just stand up. It had a huge influence. I mean, it's sort of in a way quite difficult to know exactly how, because it was just there. But being women and gaining a lot of confidence of being heard, you know, because it was such a different atmosphere of actually being able to speak and know that you're being listened to, and then discussions happening. While, you know, my experience really of working, you know, being with men is that you weren't listened to and whatever you said was totally ignored. So, or trashed, even worse, you know, just, you know, you're talking nonsense. So, it was brilliant. It set me in very good stead, I think, yes.
Oh, okay. And what do you think the sort of more broader legacy of Greenham is, rather than your personal legacy?
That's hard to know. I mean, I was amazed recently. We went up to sort of went and did some actions in Faslane and then to COP26. Just the amount, and we were under the Greenham Women Everywhere banner. You know, we're still here and we're not going away. So there's a whole lot of Greenham women. We were up there. Just how many people and young people came up to us saying how amazing we were, sort of thing. But, you know, basically the impact that Greenham had had on them. And yet, you know, that it's been, again, so silenced, because it's not, you know, it's not being taught in schools or in peace studies, particularly. I mean, it's rare that it comes, you know, it's seen as part of our political history. And yet a lot, so many people did know about it, and from all over the world as well. So I think it did have a huge impact. And just a sort of small story of, you know, when Greenham was actually happening, it was there, and I was working in Indonesia, and I'd gone way up in the mountains, and I was talking with a village, sort of groups of villagers up there, and a young bloke came up to me. He was quite young, and he just said, "George Best, Greenham women." I just thought, what? You know, what? You know, that was his sort of almost two words of English. George Best, you know, the footballer, Greenham women. I thought, wow. So, yeah, I think the impact has been huge. And in a way, because it's so silenced, I think that shows that it really was very large indeed, you know. I think it was a huge threat, massive threat to the political class, yeah.
So how did you get to hear about the this oral history project?
I went on the 40th anniversary walk, you know, from Cardiff to back to Greenham.
Oh.
So I heard about it there.
All right.
Or since then, anyway.
Yeah. Oh, well, I only did the sort of South Wales bit, but...
I only did, because actually I didn't know about it. I would have done the whole thing if I could have. But I literally heard about it about 3 days before it was starting. And so I could only do the end bit. So we would have missed each other there. Yeah. So I just did from Bath to Greenham. So, yeah.
Oh, so Bradford-on-Avon was one of the stops, wasn't it, for the walk, the original walk as well?
Yeah. Yes, yeah. I'm sure it was, yeah. Although I wasn't aware of it at that time.
Yeah, well, it sounds like you weren't even in the country.
No, I wasn't. Yeah.
Oh, wow. And did you have much experience with... the locals, you know, Orange Gate was certainly well away from the town. But, you know, what was your experience of the, you know, journalists coming and how the locals felt about this? Did you interact with the squaddies at all, that sort of thing?
Yes, because I, you know, one of the things I would go up for would be actions, when there would be actions going on. Sort of mixed. I mean, I just felt it was just the hostility was just absolutely vast to me. And, you know, there'd be times of doing actions, you know, sit downs, when, I mean, there was one time when the Hunt was sent in to, you know, basically beat the shit out of us. And that was the other, actually, just thinking of that, when you're saying what was the impact of Greenham, was about non-violent action and the strength of that. Because that is so hard to do, isn't it? I mean, it is so hard when you see somebody being beaten up next to you and you just have to sit there and not do anything. So, you know, I was feeling very much that hostility, and, you know, anytime anyone went past, or we were obviously very obvious, going into the town or anything, definitely not welcomed by most people. Obviously there were a lot that, you know, were incredibly generous and open, and the police, they were mixed. I mean, I think some of them were just totally befuddled and didn't know what to make of us at all, and really weren't sure how to respond. Others, yeah, just quite rude, you know, very rude. But yeah, on the whole, yeah, they're almost neutral in a sense, you know. Oh God, here they are again, you know, sort of attitude. Yeah,
that's so true. Yeah. there were a lot of a lot of women were quite motivated through various religious beliefs, and I wondered if you had much experience of that, or the range of women that were involved.
Yeah, I suppose because I actually have no religious belief. Well, actually the opposite. Very anti. Not all. So yeah, I know there was a massive range, you know. I mean, obviously, I mean, Quakers always, you know, are very high there, as they still are in, you know, all the different peace movements. And the nuns, you know, there'd be, you know, a lot of nuns. I've actually no idea what sort of whether they were, I don't know what denominations and things, but there would be a lot of nuns there at different times anyway. A whole range of people, weren't there? I mean, there was just everybody, you know, every possible belief system there, I think. Yeah. And it's very, very strong, that, isn't it, for, you know, to show that actually we're all together in this, no matter what you sort of believe in on a religious basis. But,
I think history sort of really historically the certainly state religions have shifted their position a little bit. I remember there were, because you know, a lot of religions were quite sort of nationalist, backing the war, blessing the soldiers, going to war. Historically, that has been the case for hundreds of years, I think. But I mean, recently the Pope has given a pronouncement, hasn't he, about the invasion of Ukraine?
Yeah. I mean, although the, you know, obviously the Russian Orthodox Church are, you know, blessing it, you know, until they're blue in the face. But indeed, I mean, our just extraordinary what the Archbishop, wasn't it? Yeah, you know, just his Easter sermon. I mean, I just like, yes, please, you know, about refugees and how, you know, utterly immoral we are in what we're doing, and, you know, and going into the war as well. So, yeah, no, it has changed, but I almost guarantee, though, if we were, you know, if Britain was sending out to war, there'd be everybody in the church blessing. You know, and look at America. I mean, that's still, you know, in God's name, isn't it? You know, although it's meant to be a totally secular country, I never understand that. But
indeed. There was some Buddhist nuns that used to come. And as I found out later, really, because the with Aldermaston as well, that there is one particular, because, you know, there's a lot of different sects or whatever they would call themselves under the umbrella of Buddhism, the Buddhist nuns that came were part of an order that were, that political non-violent direct action was part of their practice, whereas I think a lot of Buddhists wouldn't necessarily be that motivated to do that.
I was surprised, but indeed, you know, I remember groups of you know, Buddhist nuns and I've always thought that Buddhism was totally non-violent, you know, that it was, you know, that was just its baseline, you know, and then obviously what's happening in Myanmar, you know, blows that completely out the window. Constantly living and learning, but they were very strong, those Buddhist women. I remember them. Some of them anyway.
Have you got any other things you want to mention?
I don't think so, really. Just yeah, you know, just again the extraordinary thing of actually walking, you know, on the, on this walk, you know, the recent walk, going through the only gates left standing, isn't it, the Blue Gate, walking through that, and we just all burst into tears. You know, I mean, it was just extraordinary to walk onto the common. Yeah, I mean, what an achievement. Although I must say, when I had a dog at the time, and when I was living at the beginning, I was living in Bath, and I'd sort of take the dog out, and sort of there was another person who actually was in the Territorial Army. I think he had been in the military, and we'd get chatting, and we actually became sort of friends. We'd have endless arguments about things, and you know, and when the cruise missiles left, and I said, "There you are, you see," and he said, "I don't think it was anything to do with you lot," you know, which I think probably the case, but you know, I think just us making, you know, all of us making that stand, and sadly continuing to have to. Mm. Yeah, we can't stop, can we? We just have to keep going.
Mm.
But it was, I think it was a massive influence on the world. Yeah.
Mm.
Mm. Yeah. And lovely to be in touch with quite a few people that were there, you know, still to be in touch or to reconnect with. Yeah, which is lovely.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're back on board with doing an interview, and
yeah, no, it's amazing. Yeah, it's great what Green and Women Everywhere are up to. Yeah, that's really good. Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm the sort of group of us that then went up to Fast Lane and things, who met on the walk, and then we're sort of staying together, so to speak.
Oh God, so you're still connected with some of your original Greenham activists?
No, strangely, not the originals. The walk from this, you know, the 40th anniversary one.
Oh, yeah.
Got together with, you know, well, you know what it's like when you're walking and you get chatting and, you know. So there's a group of us that met then, and we are all doing stuff still together. So, we went up to Fast Lane, and then, yeah, COP26, and now planning another thing in Fast Lane and various things. So yeah.
So it's what I call, you're still carrying Greenham home, really.
Still carrying the banners. Yeah, yeah. Oh. We're still here. Yeah, sadly. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, but it does. I mean, it is amazing how it does attract attention when you have the Greenham Women banner, because in COP26 it was absolutely extraordinary, because we were just walking the streets and handing out leaflets and things for those 2 weeks, and the amount of journalists, which, you know, see Greenham Women and they just whiz straight there, you know, and then ask about that. So it was really interesting that. Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's really great, because it's really putting us back on the public agenda.
Exactly. Yeah.
And that is the, you know, that's been the main aim of the project, really, and that's why all this outreach stuff's quite it's very important. It's no good just doing the archive, you've actually got to take it out there as well.
Yeah, absolutely. But you know, it was, well, as I was saying earlier, I mean, I was just amazed what resonance Green and Women still had, you know. Yeah. And so many people remembered. And often, you know, sort of younger people say, well, my mum was there, or she told me about it, or, you know, my dad or whatever, you know, tell me about what was happening. It's strong. And I think we really do need to get it, you know, loud and clear back out there, because it's still as important now as it, you know, ever has been. Mm. Well, yeah, particularly with the threats that are going on, for goodness sake, honestly. Yeah. Putin and his, I can use nuclear weapons, yeah.
And that was always one of the contentions, that, like, having nuclear weapons on our soil made us a much more scary target, you know.
Yeah.
not, we weren't massively backing NATO, basically. We were sort of defying NATO.
Well, trying to find completely non-military ways of, you know, addressing conflicts, yes. And, you know, NATO is a military power. So, yeah, and it is that, you know, if somebody bashes you on the nose, you know, the tendency is you bash them back instead of saying, oh, hit me again. So, yeah, it's a real dilemma, all of that, I think. Mm. Yeah. Constant discussions need to be had all the time. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. Oh dear.
Yes, I know.
Well, there we are. Yeah, thank you. And it's really interesting to hear about going up to COP. But I didn't go. It was too much for me. But I know the Green and Women Everywhere banner was up there quite busy. And they've still got Faz Lane, haven't they? So
Yeah, and we'll be going there soon.
Oh, brilliant.
Very soon. Watch that space, you know.